The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
This episode was brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Maybe you're going through, dare I say, menopause or perimenopause. If so, my guess is you're having a hard time finding comfort in your body. I have just the thing that really works. Hormone Harmony has become an absolute phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. It is the craziest statistic. Enter Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony. They're dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make zero compromise when it comes to quality, and it really does show. What I love is that Hormone Harmony contains herbal extracts called aptogens, which basically do exactly what it sounds like. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So if you're struggling with hot flashes, night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating, gas, and no desire to be next to someone in bed, if you catch my drift, Hormone Harmony can really help with all these things. The best part, especially if you're listening and thinking to yourself, this is all great, but I'm not going through menopause yet. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause, but for women with any symptoms of hormonal imbalances. The biggest benefit of all is really truly feeling like yourself again. In fact, it's the main takeaway women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 160,000 reviews, to be exact. Okay, for our Lipstick on the Rim audience, we have a limited time 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Use code LIPSTICK at checkout.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Amisha Gormley. We're two girls obsessed with one thing,
beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful.
We're calling on our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions.
With a drink in hand.
Definitely with a drink in hand.
You're listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims.
Please fasten your seatbelts, put the tray table in its upright position, because Riza Tisa is on Lipstick on the Rim.
And it's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. Okay, you guys. Kenna, who works with me in every aspect of my life, I was deathly ill a couple of weeks ago. I had the flu. I actually was with Emisha in New Jersey. I came back.
Sleeping at a skating recital.
She wanted me to go. It was a horrible ice skating recital. The girls were amazing. They weren't, but it was fine. But I'm laying there. I'm sweating. I have a fever. She texted me. She was like, I know you're sick, but you just don't understand. You have to listen to this woman. She's incredible. And so I cursed her in my head for a second. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, play. I was obsessed from the very beginning. Riza Tisa, okay? Her full name is Teresa Johnson. She is from Atlanta, Georgia, originally from New Jersey, which we learned. And she created an incredible, I mean, incredible 50-part. That's right. You're going to lose about 8 hours of your life, but a 50-part TikTok series about her relationship with her ex-husband and the United Nation of Red Flags that existed. She met, she got engaged, she married and divorced. And she is here today to tell us all about it. We are extremely excited. We are in Austin, Texas. We are at Dear Media. We are here by South by Southwest. I'm just going to give a little shout out to my co-host, Emisha Gormley. We just won Best Beauty and Fashion Podcast for iHeart last night. So we are
very excited.
We are very excited.
We're honored.
Excited about Riza.
This is your first podcast interview.
So Riza Tisa is here. She is in person. She is live. We are up close and personal. I can see her. I can hug her. Who the fuck did I marry? It has been an overnight sensation. I've watched all 50 parts. She is the most unbelievably incredible storyteller. When you listen to her story, and I hope everyone does, if you haven't, I don't know who you are, but the depths that she goes into becoming her own detective in her own life is phenomenal. And the reason why we wanted to have her on today is to really talk about navigating red flags in any of your relationships. We have another special guest on who we have been obsessed with. So two in one. She's the author of The Origins of You. Her name is Vienna Farron, and she is the ultimate therapist. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist who has also a crazy following. And today we are going to navigate, what is it like? What is it like to be in relationships that are not trustworthy, that are completely upside down, but you can't get out of it? I'm so excited. Vienna, I'm so excited to have you. Risa, I can't even believe it. I don't think I've been this starstruck since George Clooney.
I had goosebumps.
I was nervous. I told Stuber this morning, I'm like, I can't remember what I'm going to say. And he's like, you will. Okay. Risa, we love you. Happy you are here.
Thank you.
She came from Georgia just to see with us. Okay. Risa, we love you. We love your story. We love that you are a detective in your own life. Can you give us a high level synopsis for our listeners, for those who don't know you, about what has happened to you?
So basically, I released the first video Valentine's Day, February 14th. And typically, I guess around February 17th, so really that Sunday, I guess, is when it was, I woke up to a large number of text messages from coworkers, family, friends who were like, girl, your video series has gone viral. I want to say that the video series at that time was maybe at about 1 million views, because I did have to have a meeting at work to explain that I was at, you know, like 1.2 million followers.
And you were, what, at like 1,000 followers?
So when I started on the 14th, I had 8,100
Stop
followers.
It.
Yeah.
So and it just went to give her, because I know she doesn't want to say this, and Vienna, I don't know if you know this, but like, we were talking about it the other night at the Oscars. It has more views. She has more, 450 million impressions than the Super Bowl. If that puts that a little bit into perspective.
She's like, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
And when you put this together, what was the purpose of it?
So I really just wanted to tell my story. I really just wanted to tell my experience, because I felt like y'all are not going to believe what the hell this person put me through. And I'm going to tell you guys what happened. And then as I was making it, I was like, you know what? I really hope, God, that this helps somebody who doesn't do what I did. Don't ignore the voice and, you know, don't ignore the red flags. So it really just started out as I'm ready to tell my story. And then it kind of evolved into, I hope that this story really does help someone, because really by the midway of the series, I'm seeing the reactions that are coming in, the views that are coming in. So I was like, if a lot of people are watching this, I hope it helps somebody.
Well, I think it just really, you connected with us, you know, you connected with, and also meeting him. And, you know, a little bit like Risa, we all want something, and you wanted a relationship. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be in the club. Do you think that's what kept you there this whole time?
It definitely was the desire to be married. It definitely was the desire to be in a loving relationship. And truthfully, I really did love him at one point. I really did. He was, I say this a lot, he was my person. Like, despite everything, when this started, I was so excited. I had those butterflies.
He changed your tire.
He changed my tire.
He love bombed you. Yeah. I mean, Vienna, I guess that's normal when you're first in a relationship with anyone. I mean, whether they're a pathological liar or not, like to get that love bomb that's okay. It's fine. He does that. Mm-hmm. He does this though. You know what I mean? Like,
But you're also, I mean, part of what I think has resonated and connected with people so much is the way you tell your story. It's a beautiful way of kind of, you're a natural storyteller. Have you always had that gift?
I have always been the girl who tells the story with every minute detail. It drives the people around me crazy. I've always been the person, my friends say, you always take 285, which 285 is a really big highway that goes around Atlanta. And so they're like, you always take 285 to tell your story versus just get to the point. But I'm like, I need to explain to you what the outfits look like. I need to explain to you what the weather was looking like when I'm telling you this story. So I've always been a talkative storyteller, always.
We did a little detective work of our own, a little fun fact about Risa. Disa, Teresa, she got most talkative
did.
In high school. By the way, just so you know. So did I.
Yes. So did I. I was a chat. I was sorry. My quote was, "She's a chatterbox."
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah.
And what made you take it to TikTok? Like, what was it that you were like, "All right, I'm going to do this on TikTok"?
So, it all started because I actually stitched someone else's video, a video that said, "What is the most effed up thing your ex has ever done?" So I stitched it. It kind of got some views. And then I said, okay, I'm going to make a video that says things my pathologically lying ex-husband lied about. And I only listed like 3 or 4 things. That video went out and people were like, girl, you need to we need more. Like, what happened? What are you talking about? What happened with the grandmother dying during COVID and things like that? So I used TikTok because that's what I was on. Right. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on Instagram at the time. So it was like, okay, I'm going to use this platform that I've been on every day and just tell the story that way.
Can you believe today is the first day of spring? I thought spring always fell on March 21st, but I guess not. I could not be more excited to be through the winter months, although I really shouldn't be the one to complain since I live in California. In any case, you know what that means. New season, new wardrobe. So I just did a little closet refresh and I placed a massive order on Railed. Railed, R-A-I-L-S. And I am super excited for all my essentials that are about to arrive. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I love about them. They're LA-based. It is a great brand for both women and men. It's a blend of casual California lifestyle with an elevated European aesthetic. They're known for their superior fabric innovation, so all of their pieces feel as good as they look. Their variety is truly unmatched. They have the perfect piece or look for any occasion. Honestly, just name it. I am a sucker for a stripe, and I just bought the Athena sweater in ivory and in navy that I'm going to wear nonstop. I love their V-neck with this, you know, a straight jean. I love the stitching details that they do so well on the sweaters. The hemlines, it always looks so good. Honestly, this is a brand that I wear during my work days, to my weekends, to the sports field. One more piece I'm dying to tell you about, the Lucien Trench. I'm obsessed. It hits below the waist. It's such a good transitional jacket. From the perfect jeans and stunning satins to everyday shirting and wardrobe staples, Rails have you covered for literally any occasion. Enjoy free worldwide shipping and returns at rails.com. That's R-A-I-L-S.com. And take 15% off your order with the code LIPSTICK15. That's rails.com, R-A-I-L-S.com. When it comes to supplements, avoiding toxins while consuming only premium quality whole food sources of nutrients makes all the difference. Supplements have really very little regulation, and it's quite common that they contain dyes, binders, heavy metals, hydrogenated oils, preservatives, additives. And if you haven't yet listened to our episode with Yola Robert, we talk all about how to live a low-tox life. And this is exactly the stuff she touches on. You know, when I get into something, I go down a rabbit hole. So after doing extensive research on this, I learned one of the best supplements is from Purity Wood. It's USDA certified organic. I've been taking the B complex called Organic B Complete. What I've really discovered and loved with this brand is that Purity Woods is 100% plant-based, naturally fermented, making it even more bioavailable to your body. Think of vitamin B12 as a superstar. It promotes healthy nerve function, DNA production, red blood cell formation. While it may be best known for supporting energy, focus, memory, and mood, it's also great for your heart, healthy bones, young-looking skin, nails, and hair. The B vitamins in Purity Woods Organic B Complete are largely sourced from 4 of nature's most B-loaded foods: organic beetroot, organic guava leaf extract, organic holy basil extract, and organic lemon whole fruit extract. Purity Woods is currently offering our listeners 17% off site-wide, but we have an additional 10% discount for our listeners for a total savings of 27%. Okay, all you guys got to do is go to puritywoods.com/lipstick or enter code lipstick at checkout for an additional 10% off your first order. That's puritywoods.com, P-U-R-I-T-Y, WOODS.com and enter code LIPSTICK for a total of 27% off your first order. All right, so let's take us back.
Mm-hmm.
You met him.
Mm-hmm.
Two different sites, which you're like, okay, wait, I'm fucking lucky. We met. We're this is a supposed match. We are a match. This is supposed to happen.
Yeah. A lot of people are like, that was a red flag. We thought it was hilarious. We thought it was like a meet cute, like a Hollywood movie. Like, we matched on two different sites because, so the people that may or may not know, his legal name is Jerome. I know him as Jay.
We didn't want to say it because I didn't know that you would legally. I mean, I know the other detectives have come out and
he's come out.
And he's come out. So we didn't want to, you know.
But so I, on both sites, he had his legal name and then he had his nickname. So, and it was two different pictures. It was the same guy. I just wasn't paying attention. So he's the one who was like, you know, you do know that we've also matched on Hinge. And I was like, wow. Well, look at you. Aren't you lucky to have gotten me twice? Like, that was my attitude. You got me twice. And so he was like, this is hilarious. He was like, this is so such a God thing. Yeah.
Bring religion into it. bring a religion into it.
Yeah.
So, Vienna, what are ways to tell, though? Like, what would be, you know, in their situation, right? They meet, they start to hang out. What would you say is a way to tell if someone is lying or foreshadowing that they're going to be a pathological liar early on? Are there any? I want to use the word red flag. I feel like that's like your word.
Your
now,
warning sign. We can't use red flags. It's like warning yours. Signs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the warning signs, the red flags, whatever you want to call it, one of the things that's really important to acknowledge is that, like, are we in a space where we're willing to see them? Because I think we can notice them, but when we are disconnected from our intuition, the gut check. Listen, I think a lot of people relate to your story because, you know, most of us have probably been in a scenario where you look over certain details and certain things. And that, like, we do like getting swept away with that story. Oh my gosh, we matched in two different places. Like, it must mean something, right? It must mean something good for us. And it's so easy to get lost in that script and in that storyline, especially because so many people do care to be in a relationship and want to get to, you know, a particular outcome, Risa, which I think, you know, you were describing before. And so, yeah, I want to just name how easy it is to ignore them and to dismiss them and to reject what it is that might be presenting. I think you had pointed out that, like, the picture, maybe the pictures, the names, like, there were discrepancies, right? But all of a sudden we're like, nope, you know, this discrepancy must make sense. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand it. So I put that aside. So yes, if we're willing to see and acknowledge the red flags, we're looking for things that don't match up. We're looking for things that don't make sense. Sometimes even if we're spending, you know, physical time with someone, we might even notice, like, behavioral changes, like eye movements, body movements, sweating, hand, you know, if you're just like looking at the physical part. Some people are really good at hiding those things too, but right, it's like, okay, if the details start to not match up, am I going to a place of quickly trying to make excuses for it, rationalize it, sort of like minimize it in my own way in order to maintain the goal and the story that I would like to have? So I you know, it's like we can look for those things, but I generally challenge people to really look for what keeps me from acknowledging what is in front of me.
Risa, did you, when you were first dating, do you remember that first gut check?
When we first went on our first date, I didn't have red flags, but to the doctor's, Vienna's point, I didn't want any red flags either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was coming, when we walked into the Cheesecake Factory hand in hand, I was coming off of, my tire blew on the highway, scared the hell out of me. I was nervous. I was freaked out because, again, I had to maneuver my car to not get hit and pull over to the side of the road. And so when I called him and was like, I'm not going to make it, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 he immediately was like, where are you? I'm coming to you. Mm. And so when he showed up, I was so relieved that it was really like, oh, thank you, Jesus, that number one, he does look the way that he, you know, looked online. And number two, he was such a gentleman to make sure I was okay. You know, took me to go get a new tire, paid for that tire. So there weren't any red flags because truly and honestly, and I put this on myself, I didn't want there to be any red flags. I wanted this to really be that, okay, so far so good.
Prince Charming.
Prince Charming. And then throughout the whole date, he presented himself as, look, I know exactly what I want, dating with purpose. He presented that. I'm dating with purpose. I'm dating with intent. I want to get married. I want to have a family, because he did not have any kids. So he was very much like, you know, I'm 42 years old. I want to have a family. And again, I was like, this
is all the things you wanted to hear.
This is all the things I want to hear. So when that date was over, I literally left feeling like, I think I met him. I think I might have met the guy. Like that giddy feeling.
And in the beginning, he was the guy. You know, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
until he wasn't.
And I almost feel like, I mean, had you not blown that tire, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, even that experience, mm-hmm. let him kind of come in and be like, I'm the guy that, like, it almost sort of laid the foundation in a way. It's almost like he obviously didn't try to like give you a flat tire, but like, right. Oh my God, could he have? You know what I mean? Because he was able to go and save you. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like that was his MO mm-hmm. from date number one.
Right.
Like, I'm going to give you the car. I'm going to mm-hmm. give you the house. I'm going to give you the tire
and,
on
you
your
know,
car.
Like you said, he kept paying yeah. for all the bills.
Yeah.
Once you guys moved in together. I mean, I found the whole story unbelievably, like you said, you can't make that shit up. Mm-hmm. But what was crazy, he did show you a quote unquote bank statement. Mm-hmm. of how much money he had in the bank.
Right. So there's two things he showed me. One, he showed me was a pre-approval letter with the logo from the bank on there. So I believed what was physically in my hand, saying that he was pre-approved for a $750,000 mortgage. Then what he showed me on his phone, as if he, you know, I demonstrated this before, but you know, we just look at our phone. Yeah. And our face ID opens it up. So he's holding the phone up to his face to open it up and then turns it around and shows me what looks as if it is his checking account balance and or, you know, the available balance, and then showed me again what's in his savings account. So one of the things that I really wanted to highlight in this series was I'm telling people I believed what I saw.
Yes.
And sometimes in this circumstance, Your heart is telling you something is not right, but your brain is like, I know what I saw. I know I held that paper. I know I saw him open it up with his face and then turn it around, and I see the available balance. And if you do it correctly, no, it does not show up as a screenshot. You know yeah. what I mean? So it really felt like I was in this huge internal tug of war between what I was feeling and what I'm seeing.
What your gut instinct was. And we mm-hmm. talk about that all the time, you know, in different areas of our life. And the gut instinct we have, I think when you actually can cancel out all the noise that surrounds us and you tune yourself into that mm-hmm. gut instinct, A, you have to be emotionally ready. Mm-hmm. So whether that is a relationship, whether it's your health, whether it's a friendship, we all have those gut instincts, but you have to be, I think it's like almost like there has to be an equilibrium you achieve. So like the heart kind of starts to get to where the gut is. And mm-hmm. that's kind of when you're maybe more mm-hmm. yeah. emotionally ready,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's the part where I think we've all been in relationships where we're like, oh, this is not the right person.
Remember the one I was in, which he was for sure cheating.
He was for sure cheating.
I mean, I didn't want him to be cheating, but girl, I mean, you made I loved what you said about cheating. You're like, he was acting like he's Skittles tasting the rainbow. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
you don't want to know it. You don't want to think it, mm-hmm. but it's true. Take us back. Explain the lengths of being your own detective that you went through from looking. I mean, you guys, she went through obituaries. Mm-hmm. Like, you really mm-hmm. started going down the rabbit hole, for lack of a better
That's
word.
Literally what it is. I literally started. So the way I describe it, his lies were dominoes. And you ever see dominoes that are carefully lined up? When one falls, they all fall. So it's not that his lies were so amazing and well-crafted, but the way that they were presented to me, it really was inevitable that once you discovered one lie, once you pull that one thread, the whole thing, you know, comes apart. So when I started with once I got the second Social Security number, when I was doing the background for my current job, that is where I was like, okay, this looks different than what's on our marriage certificate. I verified it's different than what's on the marriage certificate. So now let me go ahead and run the background, because at this point, so many things had been going on, so many red flags, that I finally was like, to her point again, now I'm ready to physically see what's going on. I'm ready to accept something's not right. Let's go ahead and dig deeper. Well, when I did the background, and what came back again initially was just the address, was showing me where this social security number had been associated with. So it's showing me Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. It's not showing me California. So now the brain is like, okay, why isn't it showing California? So now you need to find out, well, did you in fact go to San Diego State?
Did you play football?
Did you play football? You're not on any roster. I looked you up on YouTube, but again, he had claimed he's a private citizen. So I said,
I want to be a private citizen. That sounds very fancy.
So I reached out to San Diego State. No records found. Okay. So then if you did not go to San Diego State, this is how my brain was working. If you did not go to San Diego State, then that means that you more than likely did not live there after college, because his story was he graduated, he lived there, he got married there, he got divorced there. So when I also looked up the addresses, it showed me the addresses that he was associated with in the state of Georgia and the years. So now I'm seeing proof that when you're telling me you were in California,
you weren't.
According to your social security number, you're actually in Georgia and you're at this particular address in this particular county. So that's what made me say, okay, why don't I just see? And this was really a roll of the dice. Let me look at this county to see if there's any divorce records. And that's where
you found about LaToya.
No,
LaToya was the obituary.
LaToya was the obituary.
LaToya was the obituary. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I got confused.
I've always known about the second wife. I never knew about LaToya until I read the obituary. When I looked at the obituary, y'all, I wish I could have reenacted it. My jaw hit the floor when I saw, you know, leave to cherish her memory. And then it listed him, his older brother, and it listed him and his wife in her name. And I just was like, what? And to, you know, people don't know this, I had actually asked him. I was like, who is LaToya? And all he said to me was she was an ex-girlfriend.
And he never said they were married.
He never acknowledged that they were married, even with a divorce record on file.
You guys know I'm a huge Jenny Kane fan, so I couldn't be more excited to have them as a sponsor of today's episode. For those who are not familiar, Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through. Their staples are the optimum of quiet luxury. They're minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Jenny Kane believes in the art of simplicity while focusing on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate your wardrobe that never, ever goes out of style. From their luxe cashmere sweaters to amazing accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, they truly have it all. I live in my cocoon cardigan. It's my favorite sweater. I literally bought one for every single one of my girlfriends, and it truly is my go-to gift. I recently bought the Cashmere Fisherman, and it has become an immediate favorite in my wardrobe. I know I will continue to wear it nonstop as we transition into spring. And yep, they have a new color, which is a grayish blue that Emisha is wearing right now. I am also obsessed with their loungewear. I love it. I've been traveling nonstop. The Marina sweatshirt and sweatpants have basically become my travel uniform. They also have an incredible collection of home essentials, timeless furniture pieces, cozy pillows, throws, perfectly curated decor, and the most incredible candles. I'm obsessed with their candles. The Aspen candle, it has kind of like a eucalyptus, grapefruit, cypress. It is my go-to candle at the moment. I'm not kidding when I say you can find me at their Brentwood Country Mart location almost every week. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners, you guys are going to get 15% off your first order when using code LIPSTICK15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JennyKane.com. Make sure and use promo code LIPSTICK15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. I'm so excited to talk to you guys about this brand, Bon Charge. It's a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. Their products help you sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list is truly endless. From blue light glasses to infrared saunas to red light therapy to EMF management and circadian friendly lighting, Bone Charge products help you to naturally address, that's right, naturally address the issues of our modern day way of life with little effort and maximum impact. We all know I'm a big fan of red light, and I have been loving, I mean, loving their red light face mask. It helps with fine lines and wrinkles, sore jaw, eczema, migraines, acne, scar tissue, wound healing, overall inflammation. I've really been seeing a difference. My skin has been looking more youthful and glowy with fewer breakouts as well. I tend to wear my mask pretty much every day for about 10, 15, 20 minutes. It's super easy to wear because it's lightweight. It doesn't get hot on your face. I'll wear it while I'm watching TV, cooking dinner, late night, checking my emails, at bed. Honestly, anywhere I can squeeze in 10 minutes. The reason it's so amazing, it really does help boost collagen and elastin production. Also, I just learned about their infrared sauna blanket, which I am planning on getting next, and their 100% blackout sleep mask. Please, Lord, give me one now. I'm very excited about. So we'll definitely be sharing that when I've tried them. You guys go to bonecharge.com/lipstick. You guys are going to get 15% off. Make sure and use coupon code lipstick. That's bonecharge.com/lipstick and use coupon code lipstick to save 15%. You talk about, we're going to get to gaslighting in a second, but you talk about the little lies mm-hmm. you let go because there were bigger lies mm-hmm. that you started to focus on. Do you think, and I guess this is a question for Vienna, you meet someone, you talk about your family, like why lie about how many brothers and sisters you have? Like why lie? Like Vienna, is this truly someone who is a habitual liar, someone who cannot help lying?
Yeah, I mean, it's that, right? Like some of these details that seem like, why would anybody lie about them? What do you gain by lying about them? But I think it's about covering the entire life story, right? When I don't reveal the brothers, the sisters, like if I don't name these people, one, it's less information for me to have to keep up with, right? Like, did I tell you about this person? Like, if I just keep it as simple as possible, right? It's like, I'm sort of managing that. But, you know, I think it's like, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of embarrassment, right? There's so much that's motivating and driving, you know, this need to lie, this need to hide, this need to cover up. And yes, I think when you start to like veer into like these details that don't really make sense, like why you would cover that up, there's probably the tendency that we're verging into pathological liar territory. But again, I think like, okay, I'm just hiding all components of my story, right? Like it's so normal, Molly, to your point, right? When we're starting to get to know each other, we do talk about our families. We talk about where we mm-hmm. went to school, where we grew up, how we grew up, what it was like growing up. These are beautiful questions to be asking on first dates and, you know, getting to know each other and getting to know each other's internal worlds. And right, it's like the cover up of I'm not actually going to let you into my internal world. I'm not actually going to share my true story with you. Again, it points to a lot of shame.
For me is also the effort that he put in. Every morning he took mm-hmm. a call from his brother. It wasn't his brother. Mm-hmm. Like,
what was the point?
Crazy.
Like, that's just, it is like, why? It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So to the point about the family, this is really what I believe. And I'll give you an example of why I believe this. This is why I say pathological. He was a pathological liar because the lies made no sense. And the lies never, mm-hmm. there was never a motive. They didn't make it. It was unnecessary. He didn't gain anything by lying about the number of family members. And literally, there's nothing he will not lie about. Some people actually have a line of, you know, I'm not going to cross that line. He does not. But to the point about family, I really think that what it is that because I have such a close-knit family, I do talk to my mom or my aunt or my grandfather daily, if not weekly. I think that for him, it was like, okay, if she does this, I need to do it. Right. The phone calls with the brother, it makes no sense because it's not necessary. But I think that for him, he really just wanted to portray, I come from a close-knit family as well, just like you. And I, and the example I give is that Christmas of 2020, we were all, you know, I wasn't able to spend it with my family. So it was he and I, and then we did Christmas over Zoom. And he left the Zoom with my family to take a phone call from his aunt. And I remember thinking, okay. I mean, because he took the call and then like walked into another room. And obviously, as I later found out, that he was never on the phone with anyone. But I think it's just it's to keep the facade going. I come from a very close-knit family. I have this great job. You know, I'm all the things that I told you on our first date that I am. So I'm painting a picture to continue to make you think that this is who you've been in a relationship with, instead of just being honest and saying, look, I'm kind of estranged from my family. My job is hourly, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you didn't have to present.
That he had an assistant.
That he had.
The assistant was texting you back when you're going through the worst DNC, the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to you. Like,
and I think the part that I thought was fascinating as well is he was in some ways, you said, mirroring the life his brother actually has.
Correct.
And I think that to me is, I'm curious, like from a, you know, psychological perspective, like what part of that maybe was it a childhood thing? Was there something where they were compared? But what was it that he was essentially presenting his life and what he had? But it was really his brother's life that you didn't know.
Right.
Right. Like, is there something there where that's like, that was like a trigger for him? Well, like my brother has all this and I'm sitting here, you know, working a forklift, which again is, you know,
admirable,
you know, like there's nothing bad about it, but clearly he felt something. And it's almost like he started to build this pyramid of lies by wanting to be his brother.
And not just his brother, his twin.
That's
because the mere
part,
fact, the part that really got to me, there's so many, but the fact that he always portrayed his brother is 2 years younger than him and never, never acknowledged he was a twin and he was younger by 20 minutes. So when I found out that he was a twin, because it certain things, there were still questions in my mind, but it was almost like, wow, for some reason that is very interesting that you don't acknowledge your twin and that you are stealing the picturesque identity of your twin. So I felt like there definitely is something
like that's
going
like
on.
Vienna, like I'm curious like what you think. And I mean, it's just obviously like you don't know him, but like to me that is a really pivotal point in this story, because or is story. It sounds like weird saying it's your story, it's your life.
It's your life.
Like, but to me that there's something there, and I'm just curious as to what your take on that is.
Yeah. And Risa, you're so insightful about the way that you reflect on all of this, really. And, you know, just even thinking about the way he's presenting certain things to create a sense of trust or a sense of safety with you, like, oh, this is a family man. Oh, this is someone who honors the same things or cares about the same things that I do. It's neat to see how reflective you are about it. But yeah, I mean, I think even what you described, Risa, about, okay, being a twin, being 20 minutes late, you know, being behind the brother, always catching up, right? Being the first one out of the twin. Obviously, twin dynamics have a lot of complexity and layers to them. But yes, it can be this like, I want the thing that this person who, identical twin or fraternal?
Fraternal.
They look
so they're
the same.
Fraternal.
Yeah.
They look alike, but they are not, but you can tell who's who. Yeah.
You could tell the difference. Yeah. Either which way though, right? A lot of times twins do deal with a lot of comparison and competition between one another. And I think speaking to like, okay, this is the life that my brother who was born before me, who came out before me, who whatever, has been more celebrated than I have been, who has the life that I wish I had, right? Like I'm going to try to perform my life to match that or get ahead of it even. Right, in my own experience and in my own mind, as opposed to, I think, to the point that you're making, actually allowing myself to just live the life that I'm in and create something beautiful. Like you were pointing, like, okay, cool. You get an hourly wage. I don't care. You know, it's like, that's okay. Like that doesn't bother me, right? Like love will supersede those things. And yet it really does reveal again, I think what I was pointing to before, obviously I don't know him, but you know, the level of shame, you know, the level of embarrassment, the level that motivates needing to be performative in our lives as opposed to actually being in our lives.
Let's talk about gaslighting, because he gaslit you and then you gaslit yourself. That must have been very difficult to go through.
Yeah. So the gaslighting, and I'll give you a perfect example because I don't know if anyone, I'll talk about my experience, but I actually just saw him do it recently in an interview. With me, one of the things that he used to do, and I talked about how he would claim that my neighbor was, he was having issues with my neighbor. And I didn't go into detail, but an example of that would be that he would tell me that the neighbor said or did things when I wasn't around as if the neighbor was interested in him. And it took a while for me to kind of get hip to the game to understand That woman is not thinking about you. She's not. But again, in real time, I remember being like, oh my God, like, why is my neighbor hitting on my fiance? Why is my neighbor hitting on my husband? Like, that is so, and it created this imaginary discord between she and I, because we were fine before he ever entered the picture. She was the type of neighbor who would let me know, hey, I'm, you know, because I worked part-time at Amazon late morning. So she kind of kept an eye out for me. You know, is it okay if someone parks in the car so that the house doesn't look empty? She was that kind of neighbor. We got along. So when he's entering the picture, all of a sudden now she's hitting on you and she's saying inappropriate things. And he would say it to me. And again, it just took a while for me to realize that never happened. And it was almost as if he was trying to make me think you could lose me to another woman. And at the time, I didn't want to lose him to another woman. Obviously, it's weird to say that now because I'm like, Merry Christmas.
You can have him.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
But yes, I said in the videos, he gaslit me like I was Georgia natural gas, because literally everything, my ex enjoyed reactions. He did things for reactions. The story about the black charger, reaction. That's all it was. It was just, I want to see how you react. And I enjoy seeing you react the way that I wanted you to. So I enjoy seeing you freak out.
But he was controlling your emotions. Controlling,
but telling you that you were giving money together for someone who has passed away. I mean, that is as low as you
can go.
Right.
But I also, just to go back to the point a second ago, like, I also think that there was, yes, he was wanting to for you to know that you could lose him, but was there an element of also isolating you, right?
Like, absolutely.
I think that too, because your relationship started in COVID when we were all so isolated, right? And so here you have this neighbor who's your looks out for you. Well, I don't want her looking out for you because I want you to not like her. Like, I almost feel like there was, and I just hearing who he is, there was probably an element of that, I would assume, too. Did he isolate you from your other friends?
Yeah. Like, so, and one of my friends actually made a video about this where she talked about how we would get together for lunch all the time. And she was trying to get us to do a lunch, just do something, checking on each other. Are you good? Are you good mentally? Like, I know COVID is, you know, ramping up. And so she talked about how at the time he was claiming all these family members died from COVID. So he was presenting, we have got to be careful. You cannot go out with your friends. You cannot go out with your family because, heaven forbid, you bring COVID back to this home. And I don't want to lose you the way I lost my grandmother. I don't want to lose you the way I lost my uncle. So thinking back to those conversations, that weighed heavily on me because I'm like, oh my God, he has a point. Like, I don't want to die from COVID and I don't want to bring it to him because he just lost his grandmother. And so, yeah, there was definitely some isolation. And I believe the isolation comes from the fact that he wanted me to be dependent on him, whether it's financial or it's emotional dependency. because I was doing okay by myself before I met him. No, I wasn't having, you know, Michael Kors purse every week, but I was okay. My bills were paid. I didn't have the most high paying job, but then here he comes, you know, and the way he presented paying the bills was, I got you. Like, you don't have to do this by yourself. I kind of wish people understood that the way it was presented was like, we're a team. And as your man, I'm going to pay these bills. You take care of what you have. I got the household bills. And I think he did that, number one, to, again, continue the lie of I make all this money. And then number two, I want you to really be dependent on me because I don't want you to find out that everything I told you is a lie.
Do you think he believed the lies?
Some of them I think he believed because they are lies that he has rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The lies to me were not all new because obviously I talk about how I talked to wife number two. Some of them were the exact same lies, the exact same MO, looking for a house, looking for cars.
Do you think he also played on the fact that he knew you wanted a baby?
Absolutely.
He knew you wanted a family.
Absolutely. I was very open about it. Just like I was open in this series, I was very open with him about what it is I wanted. Because at the time, I thought that one of the things I should do is be honest about I'm dating with intention. And I didn't go into detail on it too much, but I do worry that, hey, when you tell someone I'm dating for marriage, you got to be careful. And I hope that the doctor kind of will elaborate on this because they can use it against you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you're saying, look, I'm grown. I'm an adult. If you don't want the same thing as me, I wish you all the best. But then you may meet someone who's like, oh, I do want the same thing as you. And now I know what your weak spot is. And now I know how to use that to get what I want from you. So it was very well known that I wanted a family. I wanted to get married. And like I said, from the first date, he said he wanted the same thing. So I thought that we were in agreement, but I do believe that when I got pregnant, he was like head over heels because I do think in the back of his mind, she's never going to leave me. Like now that we're sharing a baby, she's not going
to
go anywhere.
Did he try to convince you to keep trying after? Or was there a moment you're like, I don't know that I'm ready for a baby with this guy?
There was a moment when I thought I wasn't ready for a baby. In terms of trying, we followed what my doctor said, which was just let your body heal, mm-hmm. try again in the fall. And he was very much, we will do whatever you're comfortable doing. He was that guy. But absolutely, he was definitely all for when you're ready to try again, let's try again.
Vienna, do you see that a lot when someone will give you a piece of information and then ultimately they will use it against you or they will use it to manipulate you?
Yeah, I mean, that's where the fine line is, right? Is because obviously in intimate relationships, we want to share our dreams and aspirations and wishes, and we want to be open and honest. And I would still encourage people to do that, right? And we also sometimes have these experiences where people know like, ooh, that's a tender spot, you know, and I can use that spot now to take advantage of you or to, like, I know that there is a risk now involved, right? Because if I stay with, like, I know you want this outcome. And because you want this outcome, you're probably less likely to listen to yourself and override what it is that you're feeling, seeing, thinking, because ultimately, again, the end game of whether it's marriage, whether it's having a child, right, is like the thing that you're going to prioritize over other things. And so, yes, right, it's like there's such a fine line. You hear people say that all the time, right? I'm so scared to reveal, you know, my vulnerabilities, my dreams, my wishes, because I don't want people to use it against me. And also to be in relationship means that we do share those things, right? Like I wouldn't want Risa or anyone else to close that part down and never, you know, reveal this part of yourself again because of the experience. And yet you're probably going to be much more discerning and much more thoughtful. I mean, listen, it's out in the world. Everybody knows about it now. There's no hiding it. But right, like we want to be really thoughtful and discerning about sharing that. I was going to say one other thing though. I think the isolation piece is huge. And I also think sometimes people will test to see if you're going to check the facts or not with some of the smaller stuff. Will you confront the neighbor right away? Or are you like, ooh, this is weird. Like, I'm not going to confront. And just like check, you know, oh, do you take my phone to look or do you just look and not touch? Do you know, like, where are you willing to actually test and check the facts, or can I get away with some of this? And I don't know if you had had the conversation with the neighbor right away or no, like when that.
I didn't.
So he's looking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sees that and he's like, okay, good.
That's definitely one of those things where I remember now that you're saying that, I would say, okay, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to go talk to her. And again, without missing a beat, he would be like, you don't have to. Like, I handled it. I let her know I'm not interested. And then comes the love bombing. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was love bombing, but that is exactly what it was. I don't want her. I want you. You're the only one that I want. So anytime any woman says anything to me, because I love you and because I, you know, you're going to be my wife, of course I'm going to represent you and let her know that I'm not interested. So again, opportunities to do something, but then it's like, okay, maybe I don't want to have conflict with the neighbor.
But it's also, I feel like in a really messed up way, what he was doing was giving you a false sense of trust, right? Look at me, I'm being hit on. You can trust me because I'm telling you, right? Like that's the part where it's so twisted.
Well, this is twisted too, which is our next question. You had access to his phone.
Yeah.
You had passwords. Why do you think he gave you that, knowing that he was full of lies?
So,
I mean, even the Facebook Messenger alone.
Yeah. What I really do think is that he was under the assumption, if I put everything on the table, there's nothing for you to check because I'm giving you free access.
It's like reverse psychology.
It's a huge reverse psychology. It's almost like if police show up to your house, they don't have a warrant. But you're like, you know, I have nothing to hide, knowing that you have weed in the back room. Yeah. Like, why would you let them in? But you're hoping that the police say, well, maybe he didn't do it because he let us check everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's definitely reverse psychology. But I really think he was under the assumption I have nothing, because he always used to say, I have nothing to hide. And he always said, I don't like people who lie. And so, yes, here's my password. You can go through my phone. What's your password? Mm-hmm.
And he had your password.
He had my password, but I really had nothing to hide. So neither one of us checked each other's phones because it was like, well, maybe he's not doing any. I mean, I made more excuses for him than he actually deserved. And that's why I say in this series, look, if I'm going to tell this story, let me go ahead and be accountable for my part, because there are things that I excused away that now I look back and I'm like, girl, if you had just.
What's one of the biggest ones you think you excused away?
The first house, the very first house in Douglasville.
With the broker.
So the very first house is the one where I've discovered the house was sold. And I was pregnant at the time that I discovered the house was sold. And I talk about in the video series how I mentally told myself, okay, you're pregnant. Let him out of the lie. Like, I made that decision because I really truly thought that he simply, I thought that the lie was, oh, I put an offer on the house, and I thought that his offer wasn't accepted. And he just didn't have the heart to tell me. I had no idea what it actually was. But nevertheless, I made a conscious decision, rolled the dice, instead of saying, okay, let's confront this, baby or no baby, confront this and go ahead and bring it to his attention. And I did not do it. So that to me was the one area that I really kick myself on, because I'm like, if this is one of those things, if you had dug a little deeper, the dominoes would have fell sooner. If I had dug deeper when the first social security number came back as no results found, if I had just dug deeper instead of saying, whew, thank you, Jesus, because I was relieved when it said no results found. But I kind of made an excuse to myself, like, well, no results found, you know, that could be, I don't,
well, I got the number wrong, or he's perfect.
I got
and
the number
no,
wrong.
Yeah, you put, you took
I'm
the
paranoid.
Yeah.
Instead of me digging deeper. And so there are so many opportunities in this story. And that's why I tell, I've been saying, I hope this helps someone, because I had ample chances to dig deeper and the dominoes would have fallen much sooner before
you said
anything.
You said it before though, right? Like not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. You weren't ready. And all of our behaviors, and this is true for all of us, like the behaviors are protecting us from something. So even though you sit here and you say, I kick myself, the dominoes could have fallen sooner, your behavior at that time was protecting you from the consequence that was intolerable to you at that moment. And you started to move into a place where the consequence of not being with this person anymore, what became more tolerable to you. And that's, again, for all of us, right? It's like, why do we excuse? Why do we let things slide? Why do we not look? Why do we not confront? Why don't we have the conversation? Because on the other side of the conversation is an answer, you know, an answer that we might not be willing or ready to actually accept or do something about, right? It's like, if I'm not ready to leave, or I'm not ready to, you know, end this relationship, then I'm going to stay sort of neat in this box and continue to make excuses. And honestly, you know, what more of a vulnerable time in a person's life, right? To be pregnant and to be, you know, thinking about the future. Like, that is a hard moment to try to, you know, connect with intuition and be like, okay, I'm going to confront and I'm going to handle the consequence of, you know, having this child and not having my partner here and, you know, doing this separately. But it sounds like over the course of time, your ability to tolerate the quote unquote consequence of this relationship ending was something that started to strengthen for you.
I go back to your last installment of the series, right? I'll call it that. I was so emotional watching you and listening to your words. And for those listeners who haven't gotten through the whole series yet, you say it's hard for me to trust or let anyone in again before all of this happened. The people I know before, okay. Mm-hmm. But after, you're a wonderful, incredible, beautiful human. You deserve to have your married life, your babies, everything you want, right? How do you, Vienna, suggest to Teresa, to any of the listeners who have been betrayed, there's millions of women, unfortunately, and men too. It's not just women who are betrayed. Men are betrayed too. How do you tell people, well, you can't just stop living your life. You have to open yourself up and be vulnerable again. And what would you say are the first steps you would take, and you meet someone and you like them? How would you say you confront this moving forward so you don't lose out?
Yeah. Well, one, I think, Risa, you are actually practicing it. I know it's sort of outside of the box a little bit by doing all the series on TikTok, and it might not be what everybody does, but you know, at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about sharing this because I'd like to offer, you know, this wisdom to somebody else and maybe that they can, you know, learn from this. And I was thinking, well, this is also really deeply healing for you because you're going through a process in which you are witnessing your story. You're getting to share your story. You're getting to share the details. You're getting to actually move through the story in an honest way, which is so different than the way that you lived it and experienced it. And so being able to tell your story, witness your story, it's more than you probably ever expected, but having other people witness your story alongside of you, right? Like, that is something that is so deeply healing. Trust is a really tricky one. Mm-hmm. Betrayal, deceit, lies. It's one of the hardest things for a human being to come back from, certainly. Mm-hmm. And for you, Risa, it's not just like dating and marriage and partnership. Now it's like you've blown up and now like, what do people want from me, et cetera, right? So it's like, there's a lot of different layers to it. But when it comes to trust, it can be restored, thank goodness, right? Because otherwise we'd have to live a very different type of life than the one that we want to. There's an Ernest Hemingway quote that I really love about trust, which is, the best way to know if you can trust someone is to trust them. And when I hear that, I don't think of that as an eyes closed, reckless trust. I think of that as an eyes wide open type of trust, which requires a day in, a day out practice. The alternative is I don't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. And if I don't trust anyone, I can't restore trust. And so again, this shift from I'm going to be reckless with my life or reckless in relationships, absolutely not. You are going to be eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. You are going to be discerning. You are probably going to pick and choose in a different way than you had before. And also, we do want to heal this part and believe that. And I think conceptually, we know like not every human is like this. You've met lots of humans who are not like this, right? So conceptually, we know, you know, not every human is like that. But the physical, right? The somatic, your experience, your body went through something and you're a smart, curious individual, mm-hmm. right? And I think sometimes when things like this happen, where we're like, how did I not see this? Like, how did I not act on this? Like, I am smart, I am aware, right? And it can feel even confusing to us. And so a lot of times when I talk about the restoration of trust, it is less about restoring trust with another mm-hmm. and more about restoring trust with the self, mm-hmm. meaning can I reconnect with my intuition? Can I reconnect with my gut? Can I reconnect with the sensations that I feel in my body when I feel them? I'm going to practice confronting things, asking questions, checking things, and maybe not going over the top, but I'm going to practice rebuilding a sense of trust in self. I always say when people are like, how do you know if you can trust somebody else? I'm like, the more you trust yourself, the more you're going to be able to discern whether you can trust somebody else or not trust somebody else. And so I think what often happens when we go through massive betrayals is that there is such a significant rupture in trust with the self. Mm-hmm. We know there's a rupture in trust with other, but that we can't control. I will never be able to control anybody else out there. We can't force someone to promise us something forever. Oh, and all of a sudden we agree, like accept it as if that could never shift or change. We know the human experience is not a guaranteed experience, right? And so this idea that I'm going to find trust outside of myself is a path that I would turn people back around on and come back into restoring sense of trust in self. And we live in this world in which some people will betray or some people will deceive or some people will try to take advantage. But the more you feel strong in yourself, I think is a huge part of, you know, restoring that. And it's a big part of what I talk about in the book too, is like I walk people through different wounds, right? And one of the wounds is a trust wound. And obviously my work is in exploring, you know, the family systems that we grew up in. I don't know if you experienced ruptures in trust outside of this relationship before growing up, what you saw in the adults around you, but this practice of coming back into self is a huge part of the reparative work that we have to do.
If you could go back and tell your 10-year-old self a little piece of advice, what would it be, Vienna?
Yeah, mine's always the same, which is that it's okay to feel. I grew up having to really dial that part down, pretended to be okay, pretended to be unaffected by all the things that were going on around. There's a lot of chaos in the house. And so because other people were not fine, I took on the role of being fine and really disconnecting from what I was feeling. So I would definitely let her know that it is okay to feel it's welcomed here and to learn how to do it as soon as you can.
Yeah. Vienna, you're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Your book.
Thanks for having me.
I think Ken has read it twice. I'm on chapter like 7. It's amazing. And what you do for families and really digging deep. And it's just thank you for last minute coming on for Teresa, because we really wanted to try to help, you know, the healing process in any way that we can, because I think it's important to all of us that we're authentic and we're transparent and things we go through and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
We got each other. We can get through it. But you're amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you. And thank you for the book.
Yeah. You too.
Thank you.
This is going to be a 2-part series. So we love you and we will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims and my ride or die, Emisha Gormley. We are always so excited to bring you guys along on this journey. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Lipstick on the Rim, or my website where we just dive a little bit deeper into my favorite products, trends, and much, much more on mollysims.com. This podcast is a production with Dear Media. A special thanks to my team, Elizabeth Tawfield, Schaefer Carrillo, Ken Ryan, and Anna Sessions, and everyone at Dear Media. Don't forget to listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss out on the fun.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.